T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
O'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Wrap it up on this Wednesday. Mike Wallace, we are trying to get him on the phone. He didn't pick up. I know it's a busy day for he was coming on with us, but Memphis had the introductory press conference for their new head coach today, so might be a little bit backed up. No big deal there.
They're going through head coaches like hotcakes.
Tell you what. How do you think, who was the head coach of Toronto last year? Dwayne Casey?
Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey. And then, you know, it's kind of like, I always wonder what Mark Jackson is really thinking when he's, I mean, for 5 seasons announcing these Warriors games.
It might be me reading into it, but the way he praises the Splash Brothers, like when in the game 5, he was like, the best backcourt duo in the history of the game. Mama, there goes that man.
That's not a bad Mark Jackson.
He praises the hell out of him because it's his boys. He was there from the beginning.
But that's kind of crazy, right? Because the first year of Steve Kerr, was it any different than what Mark Jackson had the previous season?
No. Shooting a bunch of damn threes,
now,
right?
Nick Nurse got a better end of the deal there. He got Kawhi Leonard. You know, like Dwayne Casey's got to be standing around going, you got to be bleeping kidding me. You're going to get rid of me and then go get Kawhi Leonard?
But then how do you think Mark Jackson felt when KD joined?
Oh, I mean, you got to be ready to strangle someone, right?
What's going on? No, they messed over Dwayne Casey.
Well, I mean, if they're bringing Kawhi in, yes.
Give him a chance with that guy.
Like, you can't give Dwayne Casey, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan year after year and say, you got to win, you got to win, you got to win. And then go, you know what? You can't win with those guys. You get the boot. Also, Kawhi Leonard's here. That's so unfair, man.
You mess with Kawhi.
That is so unfair. So we learned today, you heard it in the update too. So it's a ruptured Achilles for Kevin Durant. I'm leaning towards, we're going to talk with Lee Sterling, a professional sports handicapper, in the next segment. I'm leaning towards Golden State tomorrow night. We'll have to listen to what Lee has to say. I want to see what he says on the Game 7 tonight as well for the Stanley Cup Finals. But I feel like Golden State just is, I felt like they were kind of in that zone last game. And then, you know, Toronto came roaring back. But, man, I'm just feeling Golden State. And I would love to see a Game 7, too. I might be rooting for a Game 7.
And are we messing up our gambling, wishing for something?
Because I would love. When would Game 7 be? So it would be Thursday is Game 6.
Sunday night at 8 p.m.
I mean, that would just be so great.
Yeah.
And game then, 7, 8 o'clock. That would
talking,
be great.
Talking to Eddie House, he seemed very Toronto.
Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah.
And it started Toronto, running me away from Golden
Toronto's
State.
Toronto's a damn good team. We obviously know. And it looked like they were going to win game 5. There was that Nick Nurse timeout. But Golden State Warriors right now are 2.5-point favorites tomorrow night. And I'm just leaning towards one old-fashioned Golden State Warriors butt kicking, but I don't know. I could be swayed either way. I'm not locked in on any of those.
And then go back to Toronto, and Toronto wins it, but it's in 7.
Yeah, I would just love to see a game 7. I would just love it. I'm gonna love it tonight.
I was just gonna say I'm watching this hockey game.
Yep. Yeah. No, this is why you watch sports, to get to stuff like this.
I watch the Panthers and game 7s. That's my hockey scheduling.
That's pretty much mine. I've watched a little bit of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not a ton, though.
Okay.
I watched last season when the Vegas Golden Knights, their inaugural season, and they're just rolling through the playoffs, and they get to the Stanley Cup. That was fun. Yeah, I'll watch, I guess, if there's a super good reason to watch. But Game 7 tonight, like, you're watching. Anybody's watching.
We went to a game. Where were we at? Dallas?
Phoenix? No, Dallas. Yeah, we went to a Dallas Stars game.
Stars game, yeah. So that was, yep. 1 Stars, all Panthers, and tonight.
Kyrie did not opt in with Boston. So his tenure there is done, right? He's done.
Yeah. He wouldn't go back and sign a multi-year deal with him. He wants out.
That's going to be interesting to watch how this entire NBA offseason plays out. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard is going to have the biggest choice. Like, yeah. Think about that. That dude is a hero right now in Toronto.
If they win it, which I pretty much think everybody believes they are.
And if they win it, could he leave? Could he leave if they won a championship? He is a national hero, right? He would be a Canadian hero.
Well,
could he leave?
He was a hero in San Antonio.
That's true, but it wasn't the same season. He didn't leave right after a championship.
Yeah, and he wasn't. He played well, but he wasn't the face of the team.
Right.
Kawhi is Toronto right now.
Yeah, no, they weren't going anywhere until he got to the team. Mike Wallace is there.
He's ready to go.
There you go. We'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Mike Wallace, as I mentioned, he used to cover the Miami Heat for ESPN on the Heat Index, and now he's the senior editor and analyst for Grind City Media at Grizzlies.com. And as I mentioned, they just hired a new head coach. They introduced him today. He's been very busy, and we appreciate him giving us a little time. Thank you, Mike. It's got to be a busy day for you.
Hey, no problem at all, man. I apologize for being a couple minutes late. I had to turn down the head coaching job of coaching the Grizzlies so this other guy can get it. I'm cool where I am right now, so I wanted to make that clear.
Hey, Mike, how the Grizzlies are going, you'll have a chance in about a year and a half, bro. What is this? Five coaches in 11 years?
Oh, my
years?
God. Hey, man, that might have been the best blitz that you've had in your career right there. You shot the gap right there, man. I'm telling you, boy.
He did. He shot the gap right there, and no one stopped him. That was great. You were in Toronto for Game 5, right?
Yes, I was there. I just got back yesterday.
What did you observe? When KD went down, because there was all this, you know, rigmarole about Toronto fans, I think it was a little overblown. Crowder certainly thinks it was overblown, if you heard him. What did you observe while you were there?
I mean, I was right there in the 100 level, right behind the basket, and it was one of those situations where, you know, the fans were on KD the moment that he walked on the court for warmups. And I think what people didn't really understand is the scope of how that, the perspective that was there from the bigger picture. The moment he walked out there 40 minutes or 30, whatever, how many before the game started to take some warmup shots, he was booed from the moment they saw him come through the tunnel. They booed him all the way up till he got the ball off the rack. When he missed his first shot, that place went crazy with boos. Yeah, and this was during the warmups. He made his second shot and they started, you know, it got silent. Then he missed his third shot. They started booing again. So they were locked in on Kevin Durant from the moment he first stepped on that court. He had a great first quarter. And then when he went down early in that second quarter, it was like, I think people were more cheering because they knew that it gave them a chance to win that game. I don't think it was like, you know, a mean-spirited to the point where, and it was an emotional reaction. That's what fans do. But I think they quickly corrected it within 7 or 8 seconds. Once Kyle Lowry and some of the other guys told him to calm down, they shifted gears and then they started chanting KD, KD as he went out. And so I think the larger picture to me is that the players showed the class to sort of change that momentum in that environment, and the fans responded immediately and showed some class at the end after an emotional outburst.
And, Mike, I stole this from Charles Barkley because he just made me think about it, but KD shouldn't have been playing, and the fact is he hurt the same calf that was already hurt, and now we know that he ruptured the Achilles. So the calf is, you know, structure's messed up, and now the Achilles ruptures. Somebody's at fault for letting KD play.
Not just somebody. It's multiple layers, man. And I tweeted that from the game. I mean, you know, when I saw the sort of the backlash that came, and listen, I was at the press conference when Bob Myers came up there and you know, got choked up emotionally. And I'm not going to say he wasn't sincere. But miss me with that, man, because at that point, it's KD. Like, if KD's crying, I'm buying in. But at that point, you're an hour or two after the injury happens, and then you're going to get up there and act like it's you know, hey, blame me. It's not not about trolls and Twitter. It's not about blame at that point. It's about, look, man, this guy's career is in jeopardy right now. And you all made a decision that to put him back out there. Now, granted, Channing, you, among all of us, you've been in this position. And you know how badly players want to play. You've played through some major things that guys wouldn't even get out of bed with. I know that. And so I know the players sometimes have to be protected from himself. And I think if you look at what Steve Kerr has said along the way, up until the point where he was cleared to play, Steve Kerr was never encouraged or solid with, hey, Kevin Durant is okay right now. It was always, look, there was a setback here. I'm not sure he's able to practice. He can't do this. And then all of a sudden he's activated, and it was no surprise that he blew his Achilles at that point. It's just unfortunate, man, because it's a system-wide responsibility that needs to be taken for this. And if Golden State doesn't offer Kevin Durant every penny that they can on this contract, no matter what happens, then they're doing this man a disservice because he put his career on the line for them to come back.
Mike Wallace is with us. Where do you think he ends up, though? Do you think he continues to go wherever he had originally planned? Does this stall it for a season? Does he see the outpouring from Golden State and say, yo, you know what, I do belong here? Like, where's he going to end up?
He's already a very, very emotional guy, very, very insensitive. I mean, you know, he's so sensitive to everything that goes on. I can't imagine what's in his head right now. But if you're one of the suitors for him, I mean, New York was obviously high on that list. If you're the Knicks, you know what you just went through with Porzingis, not really knowing where his body was and whether he was going to be right. You got rid of Porzingis because of some of the injury issues. Do you invest this much in Kevin Durant? Now, New York could do it and get away with not winning a championship. They just want to be relevant again. So they may be able to get a Kevin Durant diminished to maybe 65 or 70% of what we know him to be when he comes back and get to the playoffs, and then he's a hero there no matter what. That might still be enough for them to make that investment. But if you're Kevin Durant or you're a team that's actually needing to win a championship to justify that kind of salary, I don't know if you can do it without seeing how he comes back first. Kevin Durant could opt in, take next year, take that max salary for one more year, do his rehab with the organization that he's with now with the Warriors, and then go into free agency next year. But then that means that you're buying back into the same medical staff and front office that basically put your career in jeopardy, you know, this week. So, you know, it's a tough decision for him to make at this point.
And, Mike, let's say the Knicks or the Clippers, just the names we all know that are interested in KD, let's say they take that chance and they say, okay, we'll wait this year and KD will be back in 2 years and he'll be MVP-level KD. Would players, would a Kyrie Irving, would he take the chance to go to New York with KD to wait a year and maybe see if he's back to KD level?
I mean, that's a great question. If I'm gonna, all right, so you mentioned those two teams. Let me throw the Knicks in there, because what the Knicks can do now is that now they can just offset what they want to do this year and wait for next year. And if they do that, then guess what? They might be able to bring in Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant in the same year. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, AD can't get, you know, he's still under contract. New Orleans is probably going to have to trade him this offseason, but they can still wait to the trade deadline to do it in February. So that's going to buy, the Knicks some more time to really load up. That's the other thing, too, man. I mean, what players want to come at that point, Kevin Durant's going to be 31, 32 years old at that stage. He's basically going to be, you know, where LeBron James is now in this stage of his career. And we saw LeBron start to break down this year. That's a lot of money to invest. But again, if you're trying to win a championship, that's one thing. I'm not sure if KD can get you there. But can he get you deep into the playoffs and make you a relevant franchise? Obviously, he could do that even if he's not 100%. And I think guys that come in will be coming in thinking, hey, not KD may not be the number one option anymore, but I could be the number one option and KD can be number two. And if that's the case, then maybe some guys will take a chance on that. But that's a big risk if you're an organization that is investing $200 million or close to it in a guy that you're not sure at this stage of his career if he's going to reach the MVP level.
Mike Wallace is with us. Used to cover the Heat for ESPN when the Big Three was down here. Now the senior editor and analyst for Grind City Media at Grizzlies.com. That would be so Knicks, though, right? We were talking about it earlier in the show where they should get Zion and they don't get Zion. And they've cleared out their roster so they can get KD. And now it looks like maybe they will get KD, but then he can't play for them for at least a year and maybe can't attract other players to play there. Like, that would be very Knicks.
It will be very Knicks, and it's funny that you mentioned that because when I was up at the finals, I talked to some Knicks guys and some guys that cover the Knicks as well. And the one thing that kept coming up was how in 2010, you know, they ended up settling for Amari Stoudemire coming off of that major knee issue that he had. And, you know, I mean, ultimately it worked out for the Knicks because, you know, 2-3 years after they got Amari and Carmelo, they won 54 games and got to the second round of the playoffs, and that was the best team that they've had in, you know, since the Ewing days or since the days when they got to the finals. That may be enough for the Knicks. That's not going to put them over the top. But, yeah, you're right about that, man. It's funny how that could be so Knicks. But you know who else it can also be? It could be also so Pat Riley to wait one more year
Ooh.
And try to get this guy in when his cap space is wide open. And he's, you know, he loves rebuilding. Guy. He loves reclamation projects. And what is Kevin Durant going to be at that stage coming off of this surgery? A reclamation project. If he doesn't sign a long-term deal this summer and he does opt in next year and becomes a free agent a year from now, Miami could also be right there because they're going to have wide open cap space in that summer as well.
I got some tingles. Did you get any of those tingles, Crowder?
I got a little tingle.
I got a little tingle working there. I'm not even going to lie. Put some music behind that, Solana, and play that back to goodness. Me later on in the show. Oh, my goodness.
Hot might have to check his jaw, though.
Not that music. I need sexy music. So, Mike Wallace, I'm going to ask you quickly here before we run out of time. We bring on all the time Cornbread Maxwell as an arbiter to decide what things are black or white. Crowder can often point out to me, I think we may have mentioned this to you, Crowder will often point out during the show, you know, I always have cottage cheese in the refrigerator. He says that's 100% white.
Black folks don't eat that.
And we brought on Cornbread Maxwell, and he said if there's cottage cheese in a black person's refrigerator, they meant to get sour cream. Like that. It's like, so we do a thing with him called the blacklist, and he's the ultimate arbiter, and Crowder will, you know, abide by what Cornbread decides, even if it's
against me.
And so I went and saw Hootie and the Blowfish on Saturday night, and I was talking about it last week, and Crowder told me black people traded Darius Rucker for Eminem
years ago.
And we threw in Iggy Azalea as a player to be named later.
And we released her.
Now
the
we asked Cornbread Maxwell, and he disagreed yesterday. He said, Ooh. No, I love Darius Rucker, and I love the band, and I've seen him at the airport. And no, we did not trade Darius Rucker. And Crowder is not going 100% with what Cornbread had to say, and so I figure we'll ask Mike Wallace because you're in Memphis, and it's kind of like that's kind of like Hootie and the Blowfish area. So you're going to be the ultimate decider here.
Man, that's a hard one because this is a music town, that's the thing. Darius Rucker was traded. But he still kept his black card, though. Like, he didn't trade in who he is and how he acts and how he performs. So it's hard to do that. But ultimately, I don't know many black people who got Hootie and the Blowfish on their playlist or whoever had it on their playlist.
Wow. He's siding with Crowder. So, okay.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the acquisition of Eminem and Iggy Azalea? You think it worked out well for you?
I think it worked out well because the player to be named later in a future draft turned out to be Sam Smith and Adele.
We got Adele? No, you didn't.
We got Adele.
Totally disagree.
My man, Mike, we have Adele.
That's so wrong. Who agreed to that?
Hey, you know what? All you got to do is look at her backup singers in her band, and that tells you who she's rolling
with. Hey, you are not stealing Adele. No. I put my foot down right now. Get Scalabrini on the phone.
Barack Obama
On Brian Scalabrini as the representative for white people. Get Scalabrini on the phone, and I want to find out if we actually gave up Adele because I'm not.
Hey, she came, man. She came our way, man.
Mike Wallace, thanks for making time for us, Mike. We always enjoy
it. Anytime, guys.
There you go. Can't grab Adele.
Oh, she's here.
No.
How are you going to say
it's
that?
Not up to you.
She's already
not
there.
Not up to you. I did get the tingles when he said the Heat would be in play for KD, and it actually makes sense what he said there.
Perfect sense.
KD opts in one extra season with Golden State, gets paid $31 million to sit there and rehab, and then the following season, the Heat has all the cap space to be in play.
And KD can pick his own team out.
Yes.
They have all the money in the world.
Total free agent. They've got all the money to spend. You got to cut up what Mike Wallace said there, Solana. I'm not kidding you, because I'm going to use that for Wrap It Up Wednesday tonight.
I can't go to the bathroom. I don't want to show y'all what's going on.
All right, Lee Sterling is going to join us in the next segment. Lee Sterling is a professional sports handicapper. You got a game 7 tonight. You got a game 6 tomorrow night. We got a lot of gambling stuff to get to, so we'll talk with Lee Sterling next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Lee Sterling is on the hotline, and he is a professional sports handicapper. You could check him out at ParamountSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. I always point out he doesn't pay us to come on. We don't pay him to come on. We enjoy talking a little gambling and other nonsense with him. But you got a game 7 tonight in the NHL, and you got game 6 tomorrow in the NBA Finals. So there's some action if you and the tail end. We've talked about this. The tail end of the action, unless you bet baseball and golf and whatnot. So let me bring on Lee Sterling here. Hello, Lee.
How are you?
Very good. Let me start with hockey and Game 7 tonight. Now, everyone loves a Game 7. Crowder and I are going to be watching. Solana's going to be watching. We know from having spoken with you numerous times, you don't normally bet the NHL. Will you bet tonight? Do you have a pick? Will you be watching yourself?
Yeah, I actually have watched every game in this series and been entertaining and a little bit surprising. From the way it started, it looked like that St. Louis was not going to put much of a fight, and they did. And then it looked like they could maybe end it in St. Louis for their first ever Stanley Cup, but it wasn't meant to be. But I think that the right play in this game might be the under here, the under 5.5 goals. From watching these two teams, both goalies just spectacular. The Blues' power play, not very good. In fact, awful. Didn't score in the last game. I think the Bruins had everything going their way on the power play last game, 4-for-4. And big ticket there in Boston. People think of Boston as having a lot of big events, but this is the biggest ticket since probably from what I'm hearing since 1985 for a Game 7 when the Celtics played the Lakers. So
who did we talk to? We talked to someone yesterday. Oh, no, it was Ben Volen on Monday.
Yes.
Yeah, because he writes for the Boston Globe. What did he say? It was like $4,800.
I know. On the glass was $96,000.
$96,000, yeah. He was telling us, because he writes for the Boston Globe, and he was looking at tickets, and it was insane.
It's the upper deck tickets going for $2,000.
Wow.
So that's incredible. So you think of all these big games that the city of Boston's been in, but the Super Bowls are obviously at neutral sites. And Boston, the last time they won it, it was away. And so it's a big, big game. So I think the pressure is there. Two great goalies. Let's go under 5.5 in this play tonight.
And Lee, you're a professional. I would say we're non-professional. I don't want to.
Although I will tell you, but
doing well.
And our hot streak.
As a semi-professional.
Our hot streak continued because we weren't going to bet on what was it? Sunday, Monday, whenever game five was.
Yeah.
We weren't going to bet, and we had looked during the show, and it was Toronto -1.5, and we were confused. And then when I looked that night, all of a sudden, it was Golden State -1, and so we decided to lay off. And right before tip-off, it became Golden State Pick'em, and so we put some money, half a unit, on the Warriors, and our good luck has continued.
Line shopping, very important, getting the best of the line.
I don't know if we were line shopping or just kind of...
Hey, let him just name something.
Also looking for... You got to have a name for everything. You win, you have a name that defines your win. I got that win because I was line shopping, honey. That's what you got to tell your wife.
We call it dumb-dumb mistakes.
That's what it was. It was a dumb-dumb mistake.
My wife has never once told me she's bought something that's not on sale. Don't they always buy something on sale?
And that's the out. Oh, you saved money.
That is a great point. So whenever I make a wager, I should always tell, yeah, but I've been line shopping. This is a great, a great line.
How about the opening line on that game was three? I actually got it at two. I got it on the way down. So I was a little bit better shopper, but you were a good enough shopper to get a win.
Okay, but it's okay for us because I will watch lacrosse if it's a championship. If it's the last game of any season, I will watch it and I will bet on it. That's not a flawed thought. Let's put a little money in and enjoy ourselves.
Of course not. Of course not. You got to come up with a reason. Let's say Harvard is, you know, playing against Cornell in the finals. You tell, oh, you know, honey, our third cousin, remember he went to Harvard. That's the reason you're watching the game. You may not want to tell her the exact amount you have on the game. Now, when I'm winning, I've had some runs that have been incredible. And when I win, she always asks me, how much did we win? But when we lose, it's almost always, how much did I lose?
You know, I get that all the time with my wife. It's funny that you say that. Whenever I say, "Yeah, we just covered on that."
It's a Jewish thing.
Yep, she goes, "How much did we win?" Yeah. And then if we lose, it's, "How much did you lose?"
Sorry to break it to you. My wife's not Jewish. And I have the same thing. The same exact thing at my house.
Okay. So great. Lee Sterling, again, you can check out the website, ParamountSports.com. So you like under 5.5 goals tonight for the for the Stanley Cup Finals.
Correct.
Tomorrow, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Last I looked, which was, it was before the show started, a couple hours, was Warriors -2.5. You have a side for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm gonna play Toronto. We've won 4 of the 5 games here. Going to look for a nice 5 out of 6 finish in the NBA Finals. So I like Toronto. I think they're the better team. They're getting 2.5 points. What's interesting is the disparity. Usually it's fairly close, teams shooting three-pointers. Most teams are in the 35 to 38% range in playoff games, but the winning team has averaged over 41% on the three-pointers in each game that they've won, the losing team 31%. I think this game comes down to who has the better cast around their stars, and I think it's certainly Toronto. Throughout the series, I've won on some prop plays playing that cast, and I think some of these guys that surround Toronto's cast will be the difference. So a lot of people I know will be playing Kawhi Leonard. You even emailed me, you know, the over-under on 30 points. I just think that's a tough, tough play. He's averaged 29.8 points per game. I've got no dog in the fight on that one. It's 30.5, something like that. So I don't have any feel there. Maybe Curry go over 32.5. He's by far their biggest weapon. I would tell you that I'd be playing Klay Thompson, and I will over 23.5 points because after Curry, there's really not much else for Golden State. They were even playing some triangle and two defense, which they should have stayed playing even more. But Klay Thompson, I think, he's not going to win the MVP, but I think he goes over 23.5 points on his performance tonight.
Yeah, I like that one. I like the Klay Thompson over. Kawhi, I'm almost looking towards the over on Kawhi, only because those 28, 29 points he's putting up, he's doing quietly. I feel like he's, you know, and he started to get into that monster run in the fourth quarter in Game 5, and then
Nick Nurse
called that timeout, which just took Toronto totally out of that zone that they were in. But I do like the Klay Thompson over on that.
Well, here's something also if you want to play the Kawhi Leonard total, which is 30.5. And two of their wins, he did not even get above 30 points. So actually, he scored 30 and 23 points. So I just think it's dicey with him averaging 29.8 points per game. Like we said, you and I both agree, Klay Thompson over 23.5, probably the better way to play a total on one of the stars.
Yeah, and if he gets off early, then he feels it.
He's making gestures, poses.
Yeah.
You know, he's got it all going.
Three random bets now through Sunday. Lee Sterling, give them to us.
Well, let's go with the game tonight. I like the surrounding cast of Toronto. I like Marcus.
You mean tomorrow night.
10.5 points.
Tomorrow night.
Averaging 13.8 points per game in this series. He's been above 16 points 3 of the 5 games. That's one of my plays. Fred VanVleet over 10.5 points, -120. He's been over 11 points 4 of the 5 games. I think he'll play extended minutes in this game. I think the coaching staff really trusts him. And Serge Ibaka, 6 rebounds over/under. He's only been over 6 rebounds once So I'm going to take the under 6 rebounds for Serge Ibaka in the game tomorrow night.
All right, there you go. There's some three prop bets for tomorrow night. Marc Gasol over on points. Fred VanVleet over on points. We love ourselves some Fred VanVleet. And Serge Ibaka under. Wait, I just wrote over. Under on rebounds, right?
And what's going on?
Make sure I have
Mark,
it right.
You had me watching two shows. Chernobyl, I've been through two episodes, think it's very good. Probably give it an 8 rating on a scale of 1
all
to
right,
10.
All right, well, okay, well, hold on. So I had said to you, I think last time you were on, we kind of exchanged TV show ideas. Crowder, did you start Chernobyl yet, or you haven't started yet?
No, I'm going to start this week.
Because he's going to watch with his wife. Solana, have you watched Chernobyl at all?
No, I'm waiting for the invite to Crowder's house.
Okay,
well,
that's
not going to happen. Coming to my damn house,
boy. It doesn't really matter. So I had suggested to Lee Sterling, Cobra Kai, on YouTube, which I love. I think it's the greatest show on TV.
Greatest
show on TV. And second only to Seinfeld all time. All right, I'm exaggerating a little bit. And
well, there's got to be something behind it.
Well,
Mark, did you like maybe... Were you Ralph Macchio growing up or something? You were.
I love the 80s still. I relate to Johnny Lawrence. He's living in the 80s. I would like to still be living in the 80s. That was my wheelhouse.
Okay.
I love the music from the 80s.
Okay.
I like all that nostalgia. And part of the reason that I love Cobra Kai is Johnny Lawrence lives still in that era. Like he can't get out of that era. He lives in it, and so I enjoy that. But
he's great. I think he's very good in it.
But you had suggested to me to watch Barry on HBO, which everyone is raving about. William Hader and I think the Fonz is in that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Henry Winkler. But so he texted me over the weekend. He goes, "Hey, I started Cobra Kai. Did you start Barry?" And I said, "Well, I started a show on HBO, but it's not Barry. I watched Chernobyl." And I said, "You've got to watch it." So you're what, 2 episodes in?
2 episodes in, Chernobyl. I think I'm 1 episode away from seeing the whole first season of Cobra Kai. So I'd give Cobra Kai maybe a 5.5, 6.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm into the 70s and 80s.
But I think that what was your era? What's your wheelhouse?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, see, this was late 80s, though. I mean, you're a touch older than me.
I love the movie. I'm enjoying it. Is it one of my top 10 programs of all time? No.
Are you watching it on a big 85-inch TV with a huge subwoofer?
You're leading the witness.
I will tell you this. I will tell you this. As much as I've raved about Cobra Kai and whatnot, so we started season 2 over the weekend, and we watched episode 3 of season 2 last night. And it's not as good as season 1. Like, it's jumped the shark just a little bit. Just a little bit.
And it's the same with Barry. I'm going to tell you this right now. Season 2 is not as good as season 1. But season 1, it might be top 5 all-time shows.
Wow.
Yep.
Chernobyl, I said this yesterday, Chernobyl is a work of art.
Right.
It's not just a miniseries. It's a work of art. That's how good it is.
Yeah, it's good. But there's no romance in it.
No. That is historical. But it's like jaw-dropping to think about, you know, that really happening and the Soviet Union having been that way.
No romance?
No.
I was going to say, if there's radar around, whatever it is, I can still get some whoopee.
Radar. Are you talking about radon? Are you talking about boron? There's radar.
What happened?
Here's the... There's radar going on.
Nuclear.
Yeah, there's not violence.
All of a sudden, I'm doing the show with Trump. There's nuclear. There's cyber. Is there cyber going on? All right. Well, wait a second. So now let me ask you this, though, because I have been in Twitter hell all day because this morning I tweeted out that Raiders of the Lost Ark was released 38 years ago today. And I tweeted out, not a banger anymore. It doesn't hold up.
Huh.
And I have been vilified on Twitter. But I will point this out. I saw it in a movie theater just a couple of years ago. Remember I told you I took my son, some of his friends to see it? Because Raiders of the Lost Ark is a big deal. And I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I was like, wow, they're showing it on the big screen. And it just didn't hold up. I don't create the news. I'm just the messenger. Lee Sterling, does Raiders of the Lost Ark still hold up 38 years later?
I've only seen it maybe twice in the last 15, 20 years, and I thought it was good. It was never one of my favorites. I think it's good. I think it's a top maybe 100, 150 movie ever, but not a top 20 or 30 movie. I just was never into it because, you know, it talks about the Nazis, and I'm not a snake guy, although, you know, the snakes all around. I thought it was good, and also not enough romance.
And the face melts. The face melts, I'm telling you, 38 years ago, and if you haven't seen it, sorry, spoiler alert, but 38 years is a pretty long time.
Yeah, and you got to have some type of hot-looking woman in it.
The face melts, though, and that was the big deal 38 years ago. You couldn't believe the effects of the face melting, and now it looks like Celebrity Deathmatch on MTV. It almost looks like a goof on the face melting. Like
it was wax.
It was wax. It was so obviously waxed, like you can see the candle being lit on his face. Like, it doesn't hold up. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
I agree with you. Cinematography right now is just, it's at a different level. So that's why most of these movies don't hold up. At the time, it was good. When you go back, like, I was watching Bad News Bears with my girls a couple summers ago, and they're like, I don't get it.
But that's a classic. The one with Walter Matthau?
Right. I mean, just everything from the uniforms, you know, with
Barry's Bail Bonds.
Barry's Bail Bonds.
A classic.
I like Lito. You like the romance. You want to see something, right?
You got to have, you know, a little bit of violence. You got to have romance. Got to be, if you have all four things, you know, if you've got, And you gotta. That's like a 4-star movie to start off out of 4 stars.
You know what? To lead this, I was eating chicken and spinach today for lunch, and some Jody. She was in your wedding, Lee.
Okay.
That works with Jody. Yeah. She told me, and you can deny this or confirm it. You were checking scores on your wedding day.
It's true.
Hey, man, you got to work.
Come on, Lee.
Pagers. Remember the pagers?
Yes.
I had one of those score pagers. Now, my brother did take it away from me probably an hour before we started. But, yeah, of course, during the day, you know, I'm checking on scores. But at least I was smart enough to get married during the summer. Any big sports fan, football and basketball fan, does not get married any time after the start of September until the end of May.
So. Yeah, I made that mistake. I got married on October 18th, 1997. Marlins are in the World Series for the first time ever, and one of my groomsmen is Dan Le Batard, who's covering, obviously, the Marlins for the Miami Herald. It's a really big deal that they're in the World Series, and he's in my wedding party. And the Marlins have a game that night, and my wedding is that night.
Who would think that they'd be in the World Series? That's one thing, but, you know... during football season? I have a friend who's his wedding anniversary is in late October also, and he tells me his wife always wants to go away for their anniversary. So they go to Miami Beach, they go to Park City, they go to different places, and he tells me, he goes, after the first 5 minutes, I don't have anything to do for the rest of the weekend because she doesn't allow me to watch TV.
Yeah, it was a rookie mistake by me. I'm going to get it right on the second one.
Okay.
What happened?
Lee Sterling. Check out the website, ParamountSports.com, and we always appreciate talking to you. And he said under 5.5 goals tonight. He likes the Raptors getting the points tomorrow night. He likes Klay Thompson over tomorrow night, Marc Gasol over on points, Fred VanVleet over on points, and Serge Ibaka under on rebounds. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Lee Sterling, professional sports handicapper. Yeah, people get outraged by that later Raiders of the Lost Ark. You've seen it, right?
Oh, I love it.
It's a great movie, and I'm not saying that it's not a great movie. I'm just telling you it doesn't hold up. I took my kid. They were, you know, my kid's 15 now. We probably was 13 when we went to see it. It's silly. Like
the storyline's still there.
Storyline is great.
It's like saying a flip phone isn't as advanced as an iPhone.
Right,
I
get
it.
I get it. Right, because that part sounds silly. So I get that because someone tweeted at me like, yeah, if you're comparing the effects in 1980 whatever to today, but I'm telling you, because the effects don't hold up, you watch it and a lot of the drama that came with the effects isn't there. So when the dude's face is melting, it's funny. It's not shocking. It's funny.
I got to rewatch it.
And it's not meant to be funny.
Is Harrison Ford even good in those movies anymore? Like, does he hold
up? He's kind of himself.
He's good.
He's himself. Like, I think he is kind of like Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah. No, he was
just
perfect casting.
Yeah. He's kind of Kawhi-like.
No, Harrison?
I think he's kind of, no, I like Kawhi.
He was that dude
no,
for a while.
No, not interested. All right, fine, go ahead.
We got action.
Nah, I'm not interested. We'll come right back after this.
Radio.com.
I think we screwed up the programming clock again because we shouldn't be coming back at 5:53. We should be wrapping up the show at 5:53, but we went long with Mike Wallace at 5, and then we went, because we went long and talking with Lee Sterling there, and everything backed up.
It was good.
5 o'clock hour brought to you by Funky Buddha Brewery, Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Saw Frank Zaffrey outside getting ready to roll with Fight Night. Fight Night is coming up at 6 o'clock. A lot of people listening to Lee Sterling there and seeing my tweets and whatnot just take issue with my Raiders of the Lost Ark take, but it is the reality of it. I showed you the face melting scene.
I'm going to watch more tonight.
It doesn't work.
I'm going to try to watch a little bit between this game 7.
Somebody tweets at me, what's your take on these 80s movies? Lethal Weapon, that holds up. Mm-hmm. War Games. Great story, but it doesn't hold up because it's so silly. The computers with the green screen, the green lettering. Tron, that was awful back when it was first released. Conan the Barbarian, never saw it. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that holds up. Breakfast Club, that holds up. Never-Ending Story, never saw that.
You're talking about with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
The Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, it wasn't good. It was before Arnold could act. Why do right. you talk to me? I will have to kill him.
I believe Conan the Barbarian that's not actually even his voice. I believe he filmed the entire movie. They figured out at the end, you can't understand what this dude's saying, and they dubbed over someone's voice for every single scene he had. I think I read that somewhere.
Because it sounds silly.
Anywho, Lee Sterling, Steve Goldstein. He is in Boston for the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Mike Wallace. And Eddie House, he was excellent.
Very good.
All those interviews we posted at WQAM.com upon completion of the program, which is right about now. Today, by the way, is Marv Albert's birthday. Yes! Waited all day for that. Fight Night is coming your way next. We will speak with you mañana.
I got the tingle.
I have Harrison Ford today sitting in a rocking chair drinking lemonade over Richie Incognito. Richie Incognito is soft.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.